This recording, Michigan 14, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a suburb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma, Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Well, we went to Marquette, which is in UP, Upper Michigan. At least every summer, we were usually there for 2 or 3 weeks. And my cousins had a heavy Upper accent, so I always thought that was really funny. And they, of course, thought I was odd. I can't do it. There were a few different words. We had a cottage on Lake Superior. It was a family cottage. My grandfather bought it, and so all of my mother's, well, two sisters and then all of the cousins used it all the time. And it wasn't called a cottage, it's called camp. And all of the cottages that we think of as cottages, everything is called camp. We're going out to camp. That means you're going out to the cottage on the lake. Lake Superior takes a long, long, long time to get warm in the summer, but one of the things that my cousin and I would do was see who could stay in the water the longest without turning blue, and we would, literally. I mean, you've seen little kids when their lips turn purple. We would sit there, but Lake Superior is gorgeous. It's clear and blue and clean, probably because it's too darn cold for anything to live there other than really good fish. Lots of campfires, and I mean, as kids, we collected things, driftwood and bugs and snakes and frogs, and camp actually is still there, and it is not quite, but almost exactly the way it was when my grandfather purchased it in 1920s.